Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is continuing its special coverage of the Men's Basketball Africa League on this Tuesday, in which we mark the Ides of March. The league is wrapping up its Sahara Conference schedule with two games at the Dakar Arena in Senegal before marching on to Egypt next month for Nile Conference competition. In Tuesday's first game at 17:30 GMT UTC, Rwanda Energy Group will play Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique. On Monday, the Rwandan club clinched a berth in the May playoffs by beating U.S. Monastir of Tunisia 77-74 in Dakar. It was the first loss for Monastir, which had already advanced to the playoffs. The American head coach for Rwanda Energy Group, Robert Pack, talks about some of the keys to the big victory.
Obviously, it was a total team effort. We wanted to really play with pace. We hadn't really play with the pace that I wanted us to play with. I think we have the personnel to run and create turnovers and get out and run. And today, we did a good job. I think today we had 18 points off of turnovers. I think that's our best performance of the tournament. And I think we really were into them. Physically, on the defensive end, we were into them. Every shot they took, for the most part, was contested. We didn't give them a lot of second-chance points. And that's what they feed off of. There's a good team. They shoot the three-point shot very well. They get a lot of second-chance points as well as transition. So I think in those areas, it was things that we really concentrated on, and we really focused, and we were able to execute.
Meanwhile, Monastir's execution was hampered by fatigue. So says the team's Serbian head coach, Miodrag Perisic.
Everybody's tired. Was a lot of stress on the game. In 7 days, this is fifth game, I think. So we had some injury. Mike Dixon was playing with injection. As you saw, he cannot go to penetrate, but we don't have other player. Diabate was out. He didn't play last two games. So we came here with three foreigners. Today we was playing with one and a half, let's say like this, because, as I said, Dixon was playing, but it's not, you know, wasn't in the able to play defense, wasn't able to penetrate, you know, and this kind of stuff. But he survived. He was really brave. He played all the games, so we was doing our best.
In Monday's other Basketball Africa League game, AS Saleh of Morocco defeated Seydou Legacy Athletic Club of Guinea 91-81 in Dakar. Saleh will now try to clinch a berth in the playoffs by beating the local team, Dakar University Club, later Tuesday night. Saleh's Australian coach, Liz Mills, is looking forward to the encounter.
I think we have players who would love to play in that environment. If anything, I actually feel like if the stadium was empty, it would be better for you, for Senegal. I know I get a lot of love here in Senegal as well. So I'm excited to be able to coach in front of this crowd. Our big name imports, you know, H, T, Massa, Khaled, as well as the veterans that we have on this team, like Zachariah, Cordu, they're going to thrive in this environment. So we're really looking forward to seeing the crowd and finally being able to play in front of, you know, a packed stadium. It's going to be exciting.
We just heard Coach Liz Mills talk about big-name imports. Well, one of the big-name imports for Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, or SLAC, is the Nigerian Josh Enziakor. He scored 11 points and grabbed 6 rebounds in just over 20 minutes of playing time on Monday. And while SLAC finished conference play with a losing record of 2 wins and 3 losses, Josh says it was a very good experience, and he hopes his team can still qualify for the playoffs.
The 10 days that we spent together were really great. We came in as a team that wasn't really too familiar with each other, and we quickly began to gain that chemistry, which was really impressive with us meeting each other in those first few days. A lot of people gave our team compliments. They said they loved our style of play, entertaining, you know, fast. And we planned just to keep moving forward and building on what we did here. We finished 2-3. Wasn't the best, but we feel like we gave our best effort. We saw a lot of good things from our young players. We saw a lot of good things from the players that we brought in. So we don't have our heads down. We got our heads up, and we think that we got a pretty good shot at going to Kigali and making something happen.
Kigali is where the Basketball Africa League's playoffs and final will happen between May 21st and May 28th. But before that, the league will go to Cairo, Egypt for Nile Conference action from April 9th to April 19th. The top four teams in the Sahara Conference and the Nile Conference will advance to the 2022 Basketball Africa League playoffs. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Monday night, the big highlight was a club record scoring performance by a big man for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the AP's David Schuster has that story for us just ahead.
It was a huge night in the NBA, and the biggest performance was by Karl-Anthony Towns with a franchise record 60 points in Minnesota's 10-point victory over San Antonio.
None of this happens without my teammates really, you know, really saying, hey, we want you to have a chance at history, so especially as a center, so they have to pass me the ball. So for them to all be on some, you know, be on the same page about we want to give Carl this moment and give him a chance, it speaks volumes about the chemistry of this team.
Elsewhere, in a battle of two top teams and two MVP candidates, reserve guard Bones Highland had 21 points as Denver rallied from 20 down to beat Philadelphia.
We got so much fight in us, and I just kept telling my teammates, like, we right there. Let's just keep, you know, staying, keep the game close and keep getting stops, and we're going to eventually, you know, get over the hump. And that's what we did. And I'm just so proud of my teammates just for, you know, the resilience and the will to keep fighting and getting over the hump.
Trae Young had 46 points as Atlanta beat Portland by 9, and rookie Evan Mobley had a season-high 30 points as Cleveland got by the Clippers in overtime.
Really just trying to come out here every game and have that sincerity and get these wins and just keep moving forward and keep getting better before playoffs.
Other winners, Golden State, Sacramento, Toronto, and Milwaukee.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, at VOA Sunny Sports.
Go beyond the daily headlines with VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. Each weekday at 19:35 UTC, join me, Steve Miller, as I put the latest developments into a global context with interviews and analysis. Listen online at voanews.com/flashpoint or in your favorite podcast player.
In professional golf, it was g'day, mate, for the Australian Cameron Smith. He won a first-place prize of $3,600,000. Yes, you heard me right, Sunny Side of Sports listeners. $3,600,000 after winning the Players' Championship Monday. George McNeely reports from Florida.
Australian Cameron Smith won the 48th Players' Championship, and his putter was red hot. 13 one-putts on the way to a 10-birdie day and a final round, 6-under par 66 Monday, en route to a one-shot victory.
I kept staying aggressive, kept trying to make birdies, and went through a little bit of a lull there in the middle, I guess, and just bounced back really nice, and proud of the way I hung in there.
28-year-old Smith, sensational over 5 days of bad weather and delays, and moved up to number 6 in the official world golf rankings, the highest of his career.
You know, I grew up watching rugby league and watching the Queenslanders come from behind, and even when it got gritty, they'd somehow managed to win. And I think that's kind of instilled in all of us.
Quite a day for global golf, as Smith's 13-under par performance was only one stroke better than India's Anirban Lahiri, who finished minus 12.
You know, I gave it a good go. Made some mistakes today that, you know, I could have avoided, but that's golf. I picked up a few shots too, so I'm happy, you know. This is a really positive week for me going forward.
Nearly $2.2 million second prize, quite a payday for Lahiri, as was the almost $1.4 million that Englishman Paul Casey gets for solo third place with his 11-under par performance. Still, the lion's share of the staggering $20 million prize purse, $3.6 million to be exact, goes to the winner, Cam Smith. Covering the Players and en route to the Valspar Championship this week near Tampa, I'm George McNeely for the Sunny Side of Sports, reporting from Florida.
Thanks, George. Florida is also where Tiger Woods was recently inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Tiger's remarks.
You have to understand, I got to this position because of my upbringing, having two unbelievable parents, but I didn't get here alone. I know that golf is an individual sport. We do things on our own a lot for hours on end. But in my case, I didn't get here alone. I had unbelievable parents, mentors, friends who allowed me and supported me in the toughest times, darkest of times, and celebrated the highest of times. So I just want to say thank you to my mom, Sam, Erica, Charlie, everyone here, all my friends that have come to be here. This is an individual award, but it's actually a team award. All of you allowed me to get here. I just want to say thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
We heard Tiger Woods thank his family. He was introduced by his 14-year-old daughter, Sam.
Recently, Dad, you've had to train harder than ever. About a year ago, you were stuck in a hospital bed at one of your ultimate lows. And one of the scariest moments of your life and ours. We didn't know if you'd come home with two legs or not. Now, not only about to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but you're standing here on your own two feet. This is why you deserve this. because you're a fighter. You've defied the odds every time, being the first Black and Asian golfer to win a major, being able to win your fifth Masters after multiple back surgeries, and being able to walk just a few months after your crash. Through thick and thin, you, Charlie, Erica, Cunha, and I will always be a team. Dad, I inducted you into the Dad Hall of Fame a long time ago. But today, I am so proud to present my dad, Tiger Woods, into the World Golf Hall of Fame.
At the World Golf Hall of Fame ceremony, Tiger Woods also paid tribute to his dad, Earl Woods, who died in 2006.
One of the things that drove me was his passion to play the game of golf. I was never going to be denied to play. I loved it. I had this burning desire to be able to express myself in this game of golf. One of the things that Dad had instilled in me is that he grew up in an era, same era as Charlie Sifford, and why my son is named after Charlie, is that you had to be twice as good to be given half a chance. And so that understanding and that drive, as Sam said, train hard, fight easy. I made practicing so difficult, hurt so much, because I wanted to make sure that I was ready come game time. I hit thousands of balls, hands bleeding, aching, just so that I could play in a tournament.
That's Tiger Woods, who was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Chelsea and Germany defender Antonio Rudiger was recently named a Brand Global Sierra Leone Football Ambassador. The ceremony took place in Sierra Leone's capital, Freetown, where President Julius Maada Bio gave Rudiger a diplomatic passport. Rudiger was born in Berlin to a German father, Matthias, and a Sierra Leonean mother, Lily. VOA's Peter Clote contacted Rudiger in London and asked him about his trip to Freetown.
Yeah, the experience was amazing. Amazing, amazing reception. I didn't expect that, to be honest, you know, because, I just don't expect that, because for me, myself, I am just a normal person like anybody, you know. And I was very amazed, and also like the people on the ground, like it was fantastic. And then the launching of the foundation, the meeting with the president. Like, it was overall, like, wow, like, crazy.
Before we go to the launch of your foundation, you met the president. The president was happy about the contributions you've made to Sierra Leone and the people. He said the people watch you all the time, wishing you and pray for you. Now you have become the sports ambassador for Sierra Leone. Talk to me about the experience.
I think this is something very huge, because a president who says such meaningful words to a person, this is like, what can you wish for more? Like, at the end of the day, like, this is a big honor, and to receive this type of role that I received, the sports ambassador, this is also something huge. So it shows that helping is very good.
So let's talk about the launch of your foundation in Sierra Leone. Talk to me about it.
It was our idea, for me and my team, to do the first launching of the foundation. I think it would have a bigger impact if you do it on the ground in Sierra Leone. Launching the foundation, it's to me personally very important, because it's not a one-man show. This is what I want to make very clear. It's not a one-man show. I don't want to come out there as a hero or something like this. No, I want people to join, and because I think with the more we are, the more we can create. This is what I believe in. And obviously, on the foundation itself, I have four very important stuff that we are focusing on. That's number one, sports education and in general education. Number two is sports infrastructure. Number three, sports inclusivity. And the fourth one is literacy. This is four key points we are looking at.
Let's take them one after the other. You talked about education in general and then sports education. Why that? Why are you so passionate about that?
I strongly believe that education is big key, because for me, the mindset, the head, is the strongest weapon a human being have. So that's why it's, to me, very important. Unfortunately, people in the past, because we had the civil war and everything, so some people over there, we have to say it in real talk, are not well educated, cannot read, cannot write, or cannot speak proper English. So this is a very important thing, that because the youth is our future. So that's why it's very, very important to teach them.
Talking about literacy, language, and digital and numeracy, for the especially the disabled and the vulnerable children, why that?
It's not only about that, it's also women. It's also, yeah. That's also going to gender. It's because I went there to watch a game of amputees playing. You see the love they have, the passion they have, but unfortunately, they have one arm less or one leg less. But still, there's love for the game, so you have to always get them involved, and so you don't put them as outstanders. No, they also can be very, very important, and that's why.
You went there, you looked at some games about the disabled people playing. Sports infrastructure is developing, let's put it that way. How will your foundation help improve upon that?
Oh, it's like not only this, like how this comes to sports infrastructure. Like, if they have better pitches, better coaches, and people who actually like care about them for real, we can go ahead. And that's why it's very important to have, first of all, the structure, then to have the people who show them, people who have experience, who teaches them. Yes, I have a team of we are quite big team. I think it was don't get me wrong, it's 6 to 7 people who are really into this, and we are talking, we are on daily basis on contacts, and to find ideas and where we go next.
Will you have a chance of taking some of your colleague soccer players in Chelsea there to go help with, you know, the work that your foundation is doing?
For sure, like I'm very sure, because at the end of the day, like, I have good friends in football who are eager to help. I already did a thing without even the foundation, like with Mesut Özil was involved, N'Golo Kanté was involved. So I think I hope they join, definitely.
The president was talking about the mask campaign, you know, to protect the people against the COVID and, you know, restrict the spreading of the disease and all that. What motivated you to get into it before even your foundation was launched?
Yeah, it's just this, it's just in general, because it was like in Europe, COVID hit very hard, and you just hear people are dying and stuff like this. And then, yeah, you think back, my parents are there, and not only my parents, just the whole population. I for me, I just thought, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not, this is not my area, but you just hear people are dying. So I was afraid that something like Ebola is, you know, like coming again and stuff like this. And so I said, like, if there's any chance I can help, yeah, that was my motivation.
So where do you see your foundation in Sierra Leone within the next 5 years?
Ooh, at the end of the day, like, you never know, what happens, because at the end of the day, like, I would, like, my personal goal, what we want to achieve is definitely to improve in lots of aspects. Education is more like, it takes a long time, to be honest. That's not from today to tomorrow. But what I want to really achieve very early is the structure, like in the infrastructure. There I want to go, because that's obviously that's what people see, because we all know you're African too, so you know the African man believes in what he see.
When you interacted with the children in Sierra Leone, you even went to watch a soccer match where some of the disabled were playing. What was your message to them?
Well, my message to them is that, you know, at the end of the day, they think maybe nobody sees them, but that's what I wanted to confirm, that there's actually people who care about them. This was my message.
With you becoming the sports ambassador, global sports ambassador for Sierra Leone, what will you want to achieve with this new role?
With this new role, to achieve, like, to show a different type of country. Because to be honest, we mostly been in the dark light, and this is what I want to, I don't want that anymore. I just don't want that, because yes, like, yeah, we've been through civil war, we had Ebola, but we survived. We are still there. So I don't want people to look up on us. No, I want to see, I want people to see us as equal. That's what I want.
Before you go, Antonio, what will be your message to the people of Sierra Leone? What should be their expectations for your foundation going forward?
Yeah, first of all, like, at the end of the day, what I want to tell all the people is, as I said before, it's not a one-man show. Definitely not. And I want, that's why I did the foundation in Sierra Leone, to connect with the people. And yeah, and we have to put ourselves in a role. We have to be role models, not only myself. And that's why I launched it there. So to have people on board, so we can grow together. And yeah, first of all, but the most important thing is, like, I want to put my country in the limelight. I want to put my country up there. And but what people should know, this doesn't happen day and night. It's a long process, and I believe in the process, and I am 100% like ready to go that way.
That's Chelsea and Germany defender Antonio Rudiger, who was recently named a Brand Global Sierra Leone football ambassador. And he spoke with VOA's Peter Clotie from London. And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.